Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Heartache. No heartache. On Sunday night for your New York Knicks. As they do what they always do, fall down behind 20 points. I mean, it's just amazing. Heartache. Unbelievable. Sunday night, watching that Knicks game, the ride of emotion that the Knicks have given us all postseason long, and that night in particular, just head and hands. Like, I was at a party with some friends, and they were down, I don't know, 11 or 12 or something. I went to the bathroom. I got caught up in a conversation, as sometimes you do. And I was talking about someone, about something I had no interest in, but, you know, doing the pleasantries. And by the time I got back outside, they're like, oh, man, you missed it. Pacers just went on a run. It's a 20-point game. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, the series was over. It was dead. Tibbs needed to be fired. Carl Anthony Towns needed to be traded. And then all of a sudden, Tibbs breaks his habit and starts to play the bench. We see legitimate minutes from Wright. We see legitimate minutes from Shamet. And Karl Anthony Towns takes over the fourth quarter. Down 10 heading into the fourth quarter. This game was still alive at 10. Down 20, they needed to come back. But 10, you thought they had a chance again for this team and what they do. And they wait, man. They wait until the last possible moment. They wait until they're down in the series 2-0. They wait until they're down 20 points in the game. They wait until the season is on the brink before getting off the deck and before Karl Anthony Towns has one of the great, more memorable performances a New York Knicks has had in the postseason in a long time. I mean, that was an incredible performance. He took over the game. He single-handedly took over the game. I mean, when was the last time? I know Tibbs has a tendency of sitting Brunson for the first couple of minutes of the fourth quarter, but I know he's in foul trouble, but this is the season. This is the season. This is their lives. They're going, you know, yes, technically, they would have four more opportunities, but let's be honest, they don't win that game. They're done. They're losing to the Pacers. And there's Karl Anthony Towns and players we haven't seen all postseason dominating the fourth quarter. And the best clutch player in the NBA, their captain, their leader, on the bench. It was, I didn't even know how to handle it. It was one of the more odder scenes I've ever seen, considering what Karl Anthony Towns has been this postseason. I had his moments up and down. But to see him just go off and shoot the three and go in and take a pass and slam it home to give him the lead and one, it is foul shots, do everything, get big rebounds, just everything. He did everything they needed him to do. It was one of those virtuoso performance down 10. Those are what, you know, that's what legends are made of. Now, they have to go do it. And that's what, you know, he's got to go out and do it again tonight. That's what this game is to me. This game, when you take out the obvious of it, right? The obvious of, hey, they better win or they'll be down 3-1. Or, you know, that obvious fact of a 7-game series and how difficult it is would be to come back from 3-1. This is also, you know, the kind of game where you want to stamp the advantages you found in game number 3. Right, you want to turn those things into, because right now they're on that borderline of fluke and meaningful. And Tibbs going to the bench, I want to see if that's a legitimate thing here that's going to impact this series and not just caught the Pacers off guard and won them one game. I want to see if Karl Anthony Towns, much maligned, whether he knows it or not, because I was there Sunday night at Yankee Stadium. Subway Series, Karl Anthony Towns in the stadium got a huge ovation before this series started. Huge ovation. I don't know if he knows how many Knicks fans wanted him off the team halfway through the third quarter. Watching Shaq make fun of him in the halftime, talking about if I was his teammate, I would punch him in the face for taking that shot. I don't know how many Knicks fans had visions of trading him to Milwaukee for Giannis halfway through this game. And then out of nowhere, he just completely dominated. And every decision Tibbs made was the right one down the stretch. And this team does it again. Comes from 20 points down and finds a way to win a game that just you never thought they were going to win. The season was over. The series was over. And I'll tell you this, too. Like, this is what happens is, you know, I mentioned this before. I got someone on Twitter saying I'm absolutely nuts. I think as much as it was great to win that Celtics series and riding high off of that series, we were all just, you could not be higher as a fan base. That's as good a series win to beat the defending champ, Boston Celtics, who everybody told you couldn't beat, who kicked our ass every time in the regular season. It was a hurdle the Knicks were not capable of getting over. To beat them was incredible and one of the better Knicks wins in franchise history and one of the better Knicks wins in my fan history. Like, you know, because they never beat the team they couldn't beat. They beat damn good teams in Miami. They beat damn good teams in the Indiana Pacers. They beat a damn good Bulls team without Michael Jordan, but they never beat the team they couldn't beat. The team that could not be beat was Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, and they could never beat them. I'm not comparing this Celtics team to that Bulls team, but it is the same in the idea that they couldn't win. No point. They're going to get absolutely run over, and instead, they took it to them and 1-6. It was an incredible series. But then you move on and you reassess, and they're favored to beat the Pacers. They've got the home court advantage. First two games, Madison Square Garden. They're supposed to beat this Pacers team. And to see the effort that they gave you in game two in the second half, the blow up and the choke job that took place at the end of game number one, and now down 20 points, looking as they were going to go down 3-0 meekly to a raucous Indiana Pacers crowd in that building, which has been a house of horrors for the Knicks. With Reggie Miller on the call after last year, after 2013, after all the series in the 90s, after losing to them in 2000, the last time the Knicks were in the Eastern Conference Finals. All of that, it would have been, and still can be, if they don't figure it out tonight and moving forward, a devastating loss that will diminish what they did against the Boston Celtics. There's no other way around it. You might have said to yourself, hey, get me to an Eastern Conference Finals at the start of the year. Hey, you might have said, hey, just get me past the Celtics, win this series, and I won't ask for another thing, oh dear Lord. I promise you, I will always take out the garbage. I will be nice to my wife. I will be a better father. I will be a better husband. I will never ask you for another thing if you just get the Knicks past the Celtics. And then they get past the Celtics, and it's like, they better freaking beat the Pacers. That's how it works. And to lose this series, and to lose it in the manner as we thought they were going to lose it, down 20 points in that game number three, would have been a disaster, would have made us question everything about this team. We would have questioned Leon Rose and the trades he made to change the team. We would have questioned Karl-Anthony Towns and how the hell to get him out of here. We would have questioned Tibbs and whether or not he's the kind of coach that can get you past this point, as, you know, Carlisle is, you know, coaching circles around him. Hell, the way Brunson played in this game, we would have questioned Brunson. As crazy as that sounds. Everything would have been questioned about this team. They had lost that game. That was a huge, huge fourth quarter. For Hart, who has had a terrible series and was taken out of the starting rotation, out of the starting lineup, and came through and got the biggest rebound of the game and made winning plays down the stretch. Karl-Anthony Towns, who was brought here to win this series and get them to an NBA Finals with a dominant fourth quarter. Tibbs going against his MO, opening up the bench, going down the rotation, bringing in guys like Wright and Shamet who helped defensively, helped offensively, and were there on the floor as the Knicks were erasing a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter. It was an incredible victory, a great night, but it's got to be stamped by tonight. This is now obviously a huge game for the New York Knicks. for Carl Anthony Towns, for Tibbs, for Brunson, who had a terrible game. Like, just a huge game, and I can't wait for it. And we're going to find out. I'm interested to see how they do it. I'm interested to see if Tibbs plays it the same way. I really, truly am. I'm fascinated. I wonder about the starting lineups, which doesn't interest me as much. How deep into the road? We didn't see Cameron Payne, who's typically a guy who's played in this postseason. He's the third guy off the bench. Right? It's Mitch. Or maybe now it's Hart. But it's Mitch. It's Deuce. And it's Payne. Those have been the three guys off the bench. And instead, we saw Wright. And we saw Shamet. And they helped defensively. And I think it threw a little bit of a wrench in the mix. And the Pacers weren't sure how to handle it. They went cold offensively. The Knicks got the rebounds. The Knicks made their foul shots. And Karl Anthony Towns went off in the fourth quarter and stole a victory from the hands of defeat. Now we have a series. We get ready for a game number four tonight. What feels like a must-win game, but I trust these Knicks. I'll say it. I've said it this entire postseason. I'll say it again. When their back is against the wall, this team always shows up. We felt like game two, that was the case. And in the fourth quarter and in the second half, they were not good. But game number three, down 20, they showed up. And now tonight, in a must-win game, they cannot afford to fall behind 3-1. We're going to find out more about this team with every game. And tonight is a huge game for you in New York Knicks. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris. You know, first of all, everyone actually saw, even though it wasn't a major one, Brunson slammed one down.
It wasn't with a lot of force, but yes.
No, about 3.5 minutes left. And then I'll tell you when I became very discouraged. When McConnell, who you referred to the other night as a little rat, I think I'm quoting you correctly. Anyway, when he hit that shot as the 24-second clock expired to make it 78-63, that was very disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little bit disheartening. But I will say this also, okay? You know, you got a guy like Towns. I mean, it's like an instant gratification thing in my mind. You can't just say, oh, he's no good, you know. But I will say this.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, what we were saying. He had 4 points heading into the fourth quarter.
That's exactly right. And so I'm wondering what kind of odds you could have gotten if you would have been willing to bet that the Knicks were going to score 36 points and he was going to score 20 of them.
Yeah.
And I want to say something about Scott Foster, too, okay? You know, I have a friend who lives in Phoenix who has been complaining about Scott Foster to me for a really long time because apparently he had a major ongoing feud with Chris Paul.
Yes, very, okay. Very, very famously so. Chris Paul has had a miserable record when he's the referee of the game.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Right. So there was Towns hit a three. And the guy, it wasn't just that the guy, number 43 on Indiana, it's not that he didn't let him land. He, like, stampeded him. Oh, look, he ran him over.
Yeah, the one where he falls back after the three, yeah.
Yes, and they still would not call that a foul. Now, that wasn't even, like, it wasn't even a question of was he landing in, you know, was he not giving him room to land? I mean, he just ran him over. It was like a depraved indifference.
Yeah,
which could be a new foul call.
Yeah, I mean, the shot was off for a while. I didn't think it was as egregious as you're saying. He definitely had some contact there. But I think he's gotten no calls going to the basket. I mean, I think going to the basket, there is major contact, and we do not see a lot of calls. I think Brunson, you know, is the kind of guy, like, now it's starting to get better for Brunson. Plus, he's gotten so adept at, you know, the head nod every time he makes contact that he's getting some more calls. But last year's playoffs, really no calls for Brunson. This year, it's Karl-Anthony Towns. He goes to the basket. I've been arguing with people. They're like, oh, he disappears. I'm like, I don't think he disappears. He's gotten the ball. He's tried to get to the rim. Everyone ends up with a missed layup, him on his back looking for a foul. Like, so I do think that there's been a little bit of that, but I guess maybe I would have been more into your point if he had missed the three. Maybe I'd have been more pissed about the foul, but you're not wrong.
I wanted the four-point play.
No, of course. No, we all do. Of course we all want it, yeah. But he got a couple calls on the dunk. He got the foul. He got a couple calls down the stretch. But
yeah, the guy was, like, trying to, like, rip his back off.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, this is the thing. We Knicks fans have always been told that the reason we didn't get the calls was because superstars in the NBA always get the call. We got superstars.
Yeah.
We had stars.
No, I know.
We're not getting them called.
I agree with you, Steve. And that's what we were saying last year. I remember saying it a lot last year. Jalen Brunson has emerged as a superstar, and he is not getting superstar whistles. We were saying that all of last year. SGA is getting superstar whistles. The MVP is getting superstar whistles. Now, Brunson, again, this year has been a little bit better. I haven't noticed it as much. And let's be fair, I think we're all aware. I wouldn't call him necessarily a flopper, Jalen Brunson, but he is very good at the throwing his head back anytime there's contact. Like, he's gotten better at it, and the refs have started to officiate him as if he's a superstar. Karl-Anthony Towns, and listen, this, I don't want to make this sound like a Knick fan complaining. I am in no way saying that the referees and their handling of Karl-Anthony Towns has cost the Knicks any games. All right, this is not complaining. This isn't, you know, we would be ahead in this series, or we would have beat 3-0 in this series if not for the refs. I'm just saying, in my estimation, I think Karl-Anthony Towns should get more whistles when going strong to the basket, and there is contact there. There's just no way around it. There is. But, I mean, that's just, I'm not going to focus on that. And I don't think that, I thought that three, the contact was very late, and he didn't land underneath him. And Karl-Anthony Towns, you know, falling back, kind of just, I didn't think he railroaded him. I don't think he ran him over. But, yeah, look, I think he should get more fouls. I totally agree. Now, they did shoot 30 free throws to the Pacers, 33, so it's not like there was an immense injustice with the amount of foul shot attempts. And you could argue, I mean, listen, both shot fairly well. They missed a couple of key free throws, too. The Knicks shot 27 of 30 from the free throw line. OG Anunoby 0 for 2 is the killer. And Mitch Robinson, they didn't get Mitch Robinson to the line at all in this game. But that has not been a dynamic that has really impacted the series all that much for me. And, yeah, Karl-Anthony Towns at the end of that game was an absolute beast. He was an absolute beast. Like, you got to give him credit, even if you're not a Karl-Anthony Towns guy. He saved the season. And the first thing I said, you know, Fleegs, is the first thing I said to him was Karl-Anthony Towns today as I was coming in. He said, yeah, but where the hell's it been? And I get that. I do. I get that. There is an aspect to that. Like, man, what a great fourth quarter. But it took being down 2-0 and down 10 points in the fourth quarter with Jalen Brunson in foul trouble to get it. It shouldn't be that few and far between for this guy. And I agree. Doesn't change the fact that he did it and he saved their ass. But now, listen, now we've seen him dominate. Go do it again.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 228. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. This is where I'll usually give you a few minutes on something or other, but I feel like I had Steve on the line. Don't want to make him wait too much longer. We'll get back to your Nick calls here. 888-808-1019. As we get ready for game number four, it is still Nick time right now. I understand, look, the Yankees are as hot as any team in baseball after having won again last night out in Anaheim. The Mets coming off a very important, impressive series victory over the Dodgers, find a way to avoid the utter embarrassment of losing to the Chicago White Sox. I can't stand these series. As a Yankee fan, I hate playing Colorado and the White Sox. As a Met fan, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I hate it because it's baseball. And I know as much as they are terrible, and they are. And as much as Kansas City, the Colorado Rockies are on pace to win like 28 games. It's baseball. Anything could happen. You lose one game and people flip out. If the Mets would have got shut out by Hauser and the White Sox, it would have been a huge deal, when it's really not. But it feels like you got to win those games. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the baseball, but let's get to Steve and Stanford on the Knicks. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, C-Mac?
Good, brother.
Continue
how are you?
Continue to be my favorite show on the Fan.
Oh, thank you very much.
Especially when I can't sleep because of the Knicks for the entire week, so I'm up anyway. So I have a couple of points, and then I'd love your opinion on something, because I think I'm a lifelong Knicks fan. I've spoke to you many times, and I can't find an answer on this one. Okay. But two quick points, and then the opinion. First of all, I agree with the other caller. That three-pointer wasn't just encroaching into space, not giving him land. That was egregious. There is no way in the world that should not have been a four-point play or attempt.
Yeah.
No way. It was egregious, Chris. It really was.
Yeah.
It was egregious.
Maybe I'm just so, not, I mean, listen, I was at a party. I was had a couple in me now. It didn't seem he fell down, which he falls down on him every time he takes a shot.
No, but it's what the guy did. It's literally not only making contact. It was egregious. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get that. That wasn't my point. I want to get that out.
Yeah.
The other thing about Towns, I've been a huge proponent of the Towns trade ever since it happened. I offered, and it's funny, I told my friends I would drive Julius Randle to the airport if it could help. I love Towns. I think part of the problem inherently, and this goes to the question I have after, is how Brunson and Towns are both very similar players. In that Jalen Brunson, and I love him, and he's the best offensive player in my lifetime as a Knick.
Yeah,
but that said,
dominant.
He dominates the ball. Yeah,
yeah,
like, and I just don't think they pick and roll enough together. I think that Towns falls asleep because everyone's watching Brunson, and there's a reason that when Towns goes off for 20 points, Jalen's on the bench. So that's my point on why, when you were talking about Towns like disappearing at times and where has it been?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's there. I just don't think
No doubt. That was really mostly prominent in, I forget which game now it was in the Detroit series, but that was that really happened where it was just like he was playing, like maybe game number two. He was playing hero ball and it was just like, where's Carl Anthony Towns? And I'm like, he's watching Jalen Brunson with the rest of us. Like, they were like, oh, I don't understand. Why aren't you in the post calling for the ball? In the post calling for the ball, all that's going to do is clog up the middle. Jalen Brunson's making the plays. Like, that's it. So I think they do get into things like that. And so now, yeah, it feels like Brunson's off the floor. Carl Anthony Towns better dominate. Brunson's on the floor. Carl Anthony Towns is going to be minimized.
It's a lot of times when they do that pick and roll, you know, Towns is in the post because the Knicks use their centers as many do on top to pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to set the pick for runs. But anyway, here's my point. The problem with the Knicks against this team is they're inherently flawed in the fact that our two best offensive players, and they are extraordinary offensive players, Brunson and Towns, are horrible defensively. And Rick Carlisle's a great coach, and he's making both of those players defend in space. And Towns is as good as he is offensively, he's as bad as he is defensively. He is one of the most awkward players alive, and that's why he gets in foul trouble. And Brunson's just been horrible. So here's my problem, and I'm really curious your answer. What do you do if you're Tibbs going into tomorrow when it's clear that we need defensive players? This team is an exceptional offensive team, that every one of the guys from every one of their positions can score, and then most of the guys on the bench can score. You can't sleep on any of them, and it's really hard to guard, to hide one bad offensive player. But hiding two of them is near impossible, and that, they haven't been able to hide them. The entire first, that's why they're off to these slow starts. And Indiana's shooting 50% from the floor when Brunson and Towns are on the floor. So what do you do if you're Thibodeau? Like, I mean, are you going to rely? And maybe you are. Maybe the answer is you're going to rely on DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet because they were flying around the court.
Yeah.
And they did make a huge difference. And not playing campaign. And when Deuce McBride plays like that, this team plays better. That guy hits big shots, but he also plays big perimeter defense.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, what do you do? Because I don't know if you can find a way to have Brunson and Towns on the floor together and still play enough defense This team just isolates. They pick and roll. They are so smart offensively. They are going to absolutely take advantage of those defensive
efficiencies. Yeah, no doubt, and they have. I mean, the only thing is sometimes, you know, you need to score to keep up with them. I mean, now, because you just, like, I don't know if you can stop them necessarily, and if they're having nights where they're scoring, like, you need to have your best offensive players on the floor, too, because you got to keep up with them scoring-wise. And that's what happened in Game 1. What happened in Game 1 is the Knicks didn't stop the Pacers. The Knicks outscored them. They had the Game 1. They're up 17 points because they were the better offensive team. Like, that's still capable. The Pacers had a better offensive season, and you're right. They have more offensive players. But the Knicks are very capable of putting together an offensive performance that can outlast the Pacers. There's no doubt about it. And they did it in Game number 1. That was an up and down, back and forth, bucket, 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 bucket kind of game. And the Knicks were better. The Knicks were the better team, up 17 points in the fourth quarter, up 14 with 2.5 minutes to go. They won. They had that game won playing as, hey, we don't care about your offense. We're going to score. They won, and they ended up blowing it, obviously, but they had that game won. And then they turn around and in Game 3 beat you that way, where they play better defense and have the best defensive team on the floor they can with one of their scorers. They chose Karl-Anthony Towns because Jalen Brunson was in foul trouble, and Karl-Anthony Towns dominated and did it. And he was playing with a better defensive lineup. And you're right, him. That is a flawed problem, a fundamental issue with this Knicks team. Their two stars, as we talked about it with the last caller about them getting into foul, them getting the whistle and everything. Like, they do have two stars. There's no doubt. I would absolutely call Karl-Anthony Towns a star, and obviously Jalen Brunson's a star. They are not great defensive players, and to have both of them on the floor at the 1-5, too, I mean, it's a very difficult thing, and we have seen a bunch. Karl-Anthony Towns have trouble off the switches, off the screens, closing out good enough and getting a hand in the shooter's face. It has been an issue. It was an issue in the Celtics series. It's been an issue in the Pacers series. As great as he is a step slow off of those screens and switches to make sure he closes out and gets a hand in the face. He's slow on it. There's no doubt about it. And Jalen Brunson is not a great on-the-ball defender. He can get beat off the dribble. We've seen it. And his size. I mean, how many different times do we see, you know, if those switches happen and a bigger guy gets on him, they just box him. They just give it to him in the post, and he boxes him in and backs him in until he gets to the basket. So, yeah, having both of those guys on the floor is, I guess the best term is a defensive liability. I don't know if I would feel as strongly as that. But, yeah, they are tough. And the Pacers have done a really great job, and Brunson is the only negative on the team. He's the only minus on the entire team in that game. Mikal Bridges, +2. OG Anunoby, +1. Karl-Anthony Towns, +6. Mitchell Robinson, +1. McBride, +7. Hart, +5. Wright, +2. Shamet, +12. Jalen Brunson, -6. When he was on the floor, he's the only Knick who was on the floor to see the Pacers outscore the Knicks. Now, he was 1-for-4. He was 1-for-5 from three-point land. He was 6-of-18 from the floor overall. He only played 31 minutes in this game. He got into foul trouble. And I expect him to play much better, but there's no doubt. I think we are going to see Tibbs go with a defensive line, but worked in Game 3. Now, if they're down big again, we'll see if that's where he goes. But they're going to need to score, too. You got to score in this series. You got to keep up with the Pacers at times, because as great as, you know, as much as Shamet and Wright helped defensively, I don't know if it's enough defensively to completely shut out the Pacers. They scored 20 points in that fourth quarter. They kind of went cold. I think there's something to the fact that they were up 20 points and let the foot off the gas a little bit. And up 10 points in the fourth quarter and let the gas off a little bit. Once it starts rolling in the wrong direction, it's hard to stop. And we've seen that throughout this postseason. Once the ball, with big leads, once it starts getting rolling in the wrong direction, sometimes it can be hard to stop. Even with a great coach like Carlisle, even with a team that has won all these close tight games. It happens. So do I expect them to be that cold? Do I mean, listen, the defense was definitely better. I'm not trying to say the Knicks didn't play better defense, but 20 points in the fourth quarter. They missed a lot of shots. They did not have their offensive game. And if they have their offensive game, you got to keep up offensively. But you're right. There is something. Carl Anthony Towns and Brunson are both ball dominant players. You got to give him the ball. He can't create his own shot. Carl Anthony Towns isn't going to create his own. You know, he needs the ball to create a shot. That's his offense. Same thing with Randall. That's his offense. And certainly, same thing as Brunson. Brunson's a ball-dominant guy. We've seen it so often. He just dribbles around, maybe off a screen. But that fadeaway jump shot, that turnaround fadeaway jump shot, has been money in this series. And they need offense at times. So it is, I agree with you, it is a tough situation for Tibbs. But he went to it, man. He trusted it. You got to give him credit. He was throwing guys out there. He hasn't played at all with Towns and said, go win us the game. Go save our season, Cat. No, Brunson's in foul trouble. We're going to keep Brunson on the bench. You go do it. We're going to put our other best perimeter defenders around. We're going to try and make it tough for them to score. And Carl Anthony Towns, you are going to go take over the game offensively. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I don't know if they could do that. You know, how often can they do that? Can you see that again in the fourth quarter? Can you see that again at times in this game? We'll see. I'm hoping so because I want to feel like the Knicks found something here and not just some fluke. But there is no doubt those two things are 100% true about these two stars. And maybe another season together, because again, this group is probably going to be together for another couple years. I can't see how they reshape the team. But there's the two things about them, as great as they are. One, offensively, we haven't seen enough of both of them contributing to a well-run offense that gets shot. Like right now, it feels like one of them's going to dominate the ball or the other one. If Brunson's on the floor, he dominates the ball. And if he's off the floor, maybe Cat will dominate the ball. Like that's kind of it. There is no two-man team as much as you would like to see for the two of them. And clearly, they are the weakest two defenders on the team. And that's what makes it difficult. It is a tough, tough thing to figure out. But, I mean, you got Deion Wright playing 13 minutes in this game. Landry Shamet played 11 minutes in this game and was a plus 12. I'm curious to see how Tibbs uses him tonight. I think this is a very fascinating matchup, and to see what Tibbs is going to do for a coach that, quite honestly, we don't talk about. You know, maybe defense a little bit, but we don't talk about these kind of matchups. We don't talk about these kind of adjustments. We don't talk about how, you know, we talk about the lack of it. We talk about how Tibbs doesn't do this kind of stuff. We talk about how he leaves the starting five on the floor too much together while they're struggling defensively. And what he did the other night changed that. And now we're all interested to see what kind of adjustments Tibbs is going to make in this game. Or what he's going to stick with. 888-808-1019, because I got to tell you, I was shocked that he just trusted. I know he was in foul trouble, but and I know it started to go well. But, I mean, the season's on the line. It's Carl Anthony Towns. Go win it for us. And he did.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, 247. Nick Monaco here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019, reliving a little bit of Sunday night with the improbable come-from-behind win as the Knicks do it again, down 20. I know it was early on in the game, but down 20 points. And they come all the way back, down 10 in the fourth quarter. Carl Anthony Towns had 4 points heading into the fourth quarter. He ends with 24. And in a dominant performance where he should have got even one more point, as everyone's pointing out the foul on the three-point shot. I was just so happy the thing went in. I didn't even care. And again, I'm at a party. There's like, we're not even watching it with volume. I'm trying to like, my son is in a very big kick right now with being anti-girl, like, you know, the Rascals. He He's just, and it's a lot of the girls from school in the neighborhood that we all, you know, are friendly with now, that we've made friends with couples, and it's all girls. So like every party we go to from the neighborhood, it's just like him and my other son, his brother, and then like 7 or 8 to 10 girls. And he's just, he doesn't want to do anything. He's being cranky. They're making s'mores. Dealing with that. How come we never see my friends? How come my friends never come to these things? I'm like, I don't know. Nor do I care. Carl Anthony Towns is going off. Shh. Let's go to Matt in Manhattan. What's up, Matt?
Hey, you know, I feel like to the point you were making before about how, you know, we have a situation where we get two elite offensive players, but they don't really play much defense, and it's posing matchup issues in this series. But, I mean, we've seen that, to me, that this team, the difference is made when OG or Bridges can play well on offense and have one of those nights. That's when they're at their most unstoppable. And OG in particular, I'm surprised at how ineffective he's looked at for long stretches in the series, because the Pacers don't really have elite defenders either. And the ones that they do have, they're not putting on him.
Yeah. He did. I mean, listen, his 3-point shot has been okay. He hit 4 of 6on Sunday night. But no, you're right. I mean, listen, again, it's not easy. He really became the offensive guy when Brunson went down with injury. I mean, it's tough to get as many looks as he was getting when he was really being offensively productive. But look, if he plays excellent defense and scores just 16 points, like, you can live with it. I mean, and he has capabilities, though.
Yeah. He's got capabilities of just becoming a guy who's everywhere, creating shots. I mean, obviously, he's not going to handle the ball a whole lot. But unlike Bridges, it seems like he needs to play this game where it's almost like a video game where he needs to be in a particular spot, you know, handling it a certain way, doing a certain thing, and then he finds a rhythm. OG, I mean, we've seen him this year. He can just, he does have this ability, and it's a freakish ability to find ways to score no matter where he is on the floor, in addition to that, to the 3-point shot that he has.
Yeah.
And it comes and goes. And look, that's why he's not, you know, a $50 million a year player or whatever. But
he did get paid a lot of money.
It would be nice if he could find it just, you know, once or twice more this series. If he could, I feel very confident about the Knicks.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I think it is. I think there's a lot of areas like that. Like, again, if Deuce McBride is hitting shots, I think that's a huge positive for this team. Whatever scoring they can get from that outside, like OG Anunoby, Deuce McBride, like if you can get guys like that, if you can have even Josh Hart hit a couple threes, could be huge for the team. Like, that's exactly what they need. I don't disagree with you. And we saw him. Yeah, we saw him drive to the basket. We saw him Eurostep. We saw him, you know, his offensive game is definitely better than what we thought it was. And clearly they need him to be that perimeter defender. And, you know, he had the big block shot. He had moments and has had moments in the series as a real great defender, although he didn't make the NBA, all-NBA defensive team. He is that kind of defender. And him and Bridges were brought here to be that perimeter defender to really compete with the Celtics, who hit all those threes, and they've done that. But the the Pacers throw just as many scorers at you and just as many shooters at you. You know, everyone. Siakam can shoot, and he really had a dominant game number two and played fairly well in game number three. Obviously, I mean, they get shooters from all over the place. Miles Turner can shoot threes. Like, so Nembhard, you know, has a decent shot. He hit that corner three in overtime, which was killer in game number one. Obviously, Halliburton. So they have a bunch of guys. McConnell doesn't shoot the ball that well from three, but he gets to the basket and just is an annoying little player. Obi Toppin can hit threes occasionally. So they definitely do have some scoring from all over the place, and you need to be able to defend it. But I don't disagree with your point. I think both points are fair. Like, listen, there's more than one way. Tibbs talked about it in the postgame when asked, you know, he's like, look, I don't. All I care about is getting one more point than the other. We talk about, oh, the game needs to be played this way, or the game needs to be played that way. Like, you get into the games, they played the way they played. Sometimes you got to do this, sometimes you got to do that. Point is, we need to figure out a way to have one more point than the other team. And I think that's it. I think game number one, the Pacers came out and hit every damn shot to start the game, and the Knicks were like, all right, we got to score. And they did, and they played that kind of game. And in this game, you know, it was still low scoring relatively. I mean, they go into the fourth quarter with 80, which isn't, you know, a ton for them. And so they go into the fourth quarter with 80 points, and it's 80-70. And you figure, okay, let's play this defense. Let's shut it down. They only scored 22 points in the third quarter. Let's see if we can go out there and shut them down in the fourth. And that, it worked out for them, holding them to just 100 points. Like, there's different ways on different nights, and they got to be able to adjust. Bridges was in foul trouble. Brunson was in foul trouble. So let's start with Brunson on the bench of the fourth quarter. Let's see what Karl Anthony Towns can do. Like, there's got to be different ways to win. There's got to be guys who go off one night. Like, the role players have to have their moments. I agree. And, you know, OG, I don't know if you call him a role player, but he's not the star on this team. He falls more in line with the role player thing. He's got to play his role of being an excellent defender and occasionally hitting big shots. I mean, game number one, to get on OG, I understand the point. Game number one, he, in my mind, he's about to go win them the game. You could argue that. I mean, listen, I know they lost game one, so it's hard to talk about, but they had a 14-point lead. Like, that's what makes losing that game so brutal. Like, think about where we would be right now. The Knicks would be up 2-1, and everybody would feel pretty damn good about knowing the worst-case scenario is back to Madison Square Garden, tied at 2. That's why after game number 2, I said going in, like, that's what's going to kill you, because you're not going to be the better team every night. Game number 1, they were the better team. And OG Anunoby has the beginning of that run. He has the first five points of a run that balloons the lead with Brunson on the floor, on the bench, rather. So, I mean, you could talk the two best offensive runs, the two best moments where the Knicks have either pulled away or gotten back into the game have been with Brunson on the bench. That run at game one, which ballooned a 3-point lead to a 17-point lead, was started by OG Anunoby, a step back three, and then getting to the rim for the first 5 points of that run. And then they went on to the lead by 17 points. And in this game, obviously, in the fourth quarter, down 10, and Karl Anthony Towns goes off and gets them back into the game and ultimately gives them the lead with Brunson on the bench. Like, as much as we love him, I'm not trying to knock him. Let's be honest. The two best moments of this series for the Knicks, the two best runs they've had, has been without Brunson. I think that's both telling and hopefully unique. Because they're going to need him. And especially after losing game one, they're going to need him. Because now it's damn hard. Now they have to win tonight. And again, I don't know if Karl Anthony Towns is capable of back-to-back performances like this. We haven't seen it. I don't know what Shamit and Wright are going to give you. It worked. I mean, this is not the first time we've seen this. Cameron Payne was a huge part of the 21-1 run, or 21-0, who remembers now, so damn long ago. Was it 21-1 or 21-0 run that won them game one of the Pistons series? Right? Cameron Payne was instrumental, hitting big shots. He hasn't had a moment like that since. That's why I want to stamp what Shamit and Wright did in this game. Because we've seen guys step up and it be fleeting and not back the next night. So, I mean, I have no idea what to expect. I really don't. If you know how the Knicks are going to come out and play, if you know how this game is going to go, if you think you have a good feel on what's going to happen tonight, you're better than me, because I have no freaking idea. I have no idea what the halftime score is going to be. I have no idea if I'm going to be dancing or I'm going to be my head in my hand at halftime. I have no idea. I have no idea what the end of this game is going to look like. I have no idea if Wright and Shamit can play the same kind of role and make the same kind of impact. I have no idea if Karl Anthony Towns is capable of another offensive performance. I have no idea if Brunson's just going to go off. I have no idea if OG Anunoby is going to miss every stinking shot. I have no idea how this game is going to go. I have no idea.